Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 174 of the American Pale Males podcast. I'm Michael, one of your hosts, and with me is the other host.
It's me, Michael. It's Jeremy. How in the world are you doing?
Jeremy, I'm doing good. I'm spinning now with two monitors.
Really? You've upgraded?
Yeah. Upgrade. You know, I'm finally caught up with 2013 when that became kind of normal. I had two dinners tonight.
Oh, wow. Is Jen there? She loves making multiple dinners.
There was regular dinner, and then somebody's like, hey, there's free dinner in the park. And so we did that dinner, too.
Have you heard of the fad Twitter diet, wherein you dox your weight on Twitter with the hashtag Twitter diet, and then people can shame the devil if you are slowly grinding higher and higher?
So it basically puts you publicly accountable for your weight gains and losses?
Yes. I think the most notable participant in this that I've seen is Deadspin's own Drew McGarry. He of the dorky polo shirt on Chopped on that one episode he was on.
Okay.
He constantly blames the ribs. Not his ribs, just, you know, the ribs that he's eaten, which right. I guess are technically his ribs. But that's neither here nor there. Michael, hit me with a beer brag.
I got a double beer brag for you.
My God.
After some summer fun, we went to this pub, which we might have to go there sometime. It's really low-key.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many taps, actually, like 10 maybe, 10, 12.
That's still a pretty good amount.
Right, and they're all really good beer, like Chimay and things of that nature.
Interesting.
So the first brew I had there was a local one from Central Waters Brewing in Wisconsin.
If you had the stout, I'm going to take a swing at you.
Why, is that what you were going to brag?
Well, no, because... yeah, I'll get to it.
Okay. No, I did not have the stout.
Okay,
I had their
good.
Summerillo or Summerillo Indian Style Pale Lager, IPL.
The Summerillion, perhaps?
What is that, the prequel to The Hobbit or the sequel?
The prequel.
Yeah.
Side stories.
So, our expression of summer, this Amarillo dry hopped lager is perfect for a warm summer day, crisp and dry, with a not so subtle character of Amarillo hops. This unique beer is able to satisfy your thirst on a hot day and your hop fix. It was really good. So it was, you know, those kind of zesty, citrusy Amarillo hops. Really bright tasting, refreshing. So none of that kind of drag. So you get the benefits of one of those kind of more fruitier, zestier IPAs with the backbone of a lager. So it was real crisp. The other one I had was quite the opposite of that. I got this one because it was, I've seen it in a store before, and I'm like, oh, well, now that it's here on tap, I'll just get it here instead of the store. It's an import from Scotland. It's called Old Engine Oil.
At least they're honest.
Real quick flavor text here. Legend has it that Old Engine Oil was dedicated to our head brewer's love of classic cars, but it's the thick, dark, chocolatey viscosity that reveals the real inspiration behind the name. And yeah, this was just a really thick, they call it a black ale, you know, but essentially it's a stout. And the flavor profile was straddling that almost too much. I think you referred to it before as ashy.
Mm-hmm. Too bitter.
Yeah, too bitter of a roast, but it was just shy of like being too much. It was almost like had a tobacco flavor to it, but really good. And as you have said before, and I think I quoted in my Untapped comments on it, the roast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The roast.
The roast.
So another good one. Nice to have a import. See what's going on the other side of the pond. Oh, God, did I just say that? Jeremy, bail me out with your beer brag.
I'm going to... I hadn't planned on doubling up, but I guess I will. The reason why I said I was going to take a swing at you if you had the Central Waters Imperial Stout is the fiancé and I have been going to one of the less attended trivia nights, one of the newer ones, out at Wine Styles, the bottle shop that you and I went to.
Oh, that's right.
We've won one. We've wagered poorly on the others, including this evening. But that's neither here nor there. It's how we rack up points to get into the finals.
The league points.
The league points. Racking them up. But while I was in the car on the way there, my fiance asked me if there was anything I had wanted. And I remembered from the last week that they had the Central Waters Imperial Stout. But, you know, surprise, surprise, it was not there.
Oh.
They ran out. So instead, I had a Omnipollo's Selassie. Imperial Stout. 10 specialty malts make up this majestic Imperial Stout, conditioned on heaps of coffee and vanilla beans. Simple yet complex. Imperial Stout, 11 by volume, brewed at Crazy Mountain Brewing Company in the U.S. and a De Proof Brewery in Belgium.
So it's like a collabo?
I don't think so. I think that they just have a stateside one so that they can have things fresh.
Okay, gotcha.
It's very, very good. Omnipollo, I believe, was the company that made that hamburger fries and shake IPA that I had a while back.
We had something from... They did the Splong.
The Splong... Was it the Splong or was it the...
Toasted Marshmallow.
That was Decadent. I think they did the Toasted Marshmallow one.
Decadent did the Toasted Marshmallow. I know.
Oh, they did?
Sure.
Okay, maybe they did.
I think they did the Splong.
Sploing?
Sploing, yes, that's it.
Okay, well, either way...
Sounds like Wayne and Garth.
It does kind of sound like them.
Anyway...
There's something about a gun rack joke that I'm just... I was waiting. I was just like, there's got to be a way to work it in here.
We can loop that in.
But
yeah.
It's like, no, sorry, didn't work. Regardless, the beer is excellent. And I really like the fact that Wine Styles has weird beer on tap and on the shelves.
And now that you say that, that's right, because the Splong was... It was technically a international recipe, but made over here. So that's,
correct.
This must be the same deal. Okay.
I think so. I think it was technically done with Evil Twin. Maybe they just had the wrong handle on the tap. And the other one that I hadn't planned on talking about was they also had the 2015 Founders Breakfast Stout.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so not the Kentucky, but the...
Breakfast Stout, the coffee
the
one.
The foundation of the KBS.
Oh, my. It's so good. Like
that's the baby one, right?
The one with a baby on it. It is not
You're
a
right.
baby beer.
Right. I've had that like so long ago, I think. I think I need to have that.
You really do. It's rather delicious, but...
And that was on tap.
It was on... The 15 was on tap.
That's incredible. That's
I
nice.
Know, right? I don't know who their supplier is, but...
And that's Wine Styles.
That's Wine Styles at the Iowa River Landing in Coralville,
okay.
Iowa.
It's like a sleeper bar.
It kind of is. It's a little pricey, but you get what you pay for. And
right.
If we keep winning at trivia, we're going to keep having wine tastings for up to 10 people for up to 2 hours. So, I mean, take that as you will.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to use that wine tasting, but I'm more excited to use that that free pitcher from the sanctuary when you're in town.
Oh, that's right.
I've been trying to find a reason to do that, to find a pitcher that costs more than $25, and I think we can do it.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm game.
Sweet.
It's like that pitcher of Matilda that you guys got that one time.
Oh, God.
Some beer that really should never be served in a pitcher,
yeah.
But...
If they serve it in a snifter, it probably shouldn't come in a pitcher.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I have to give a little sneak tease. Last week in our somewhat uninformed discussion of Goose Island.
I mean, that could have been any of our discussions about anything. Exploitation movies.
Yeah, in our uninformed discussion of X.
The band X? Anyway, continue.
We talked about the book about Goose Island that
yes.
We probably should have read before talking about this stuff. Barrel H. Stout and Selling Out. And I started to read it. I just started today, but Jeremy, I know you're going to love this book. I read the first five chapters. Here's just a sneak peek.
In one day? Good God.
The chapters are very short.
Oh, okay.
It's easy to read. The first thing I was so surprised is as how local to us it was, especially home state-wise, if you factor in me.
Oh, yeah.
The founder, is it John Hall, I think?
He's a jerk.
Well, he's from Waterloo.
Oh, really?
Yes, and...
That explains so much.
And they talk about how he worked in Sioux City, then finally worked in Chicago. And his son, Greg Hall, who essentially became the brewmaster after a few years, he went to the University of Iowa. And they talk about how he hung out at the airliner.
Oh, my God. Ew. That would have been cooler about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Well, it was like 1988 or something like that.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Yeah, they talked about how like they consulted with the brewmaster for Millstream, the eventual founder of New Glarus, built their brew system.
Dang.
Carl Strauss.
Why do I know that name?
So there's a brewery named after him. And the reason why it's named after him was in this early day of microbrewing or craft brewing, whatever you want to call it. He was a consultant who opened up a lot of these breweries. People hired him to start up their, usually it was a brew pub, you know, restaurant and sure. brewery. And so the one he did in San Diego, they liked him so much that they named it after him, Carl Strauss Brewing. Because he worked for Pabst for like decades.
Michael, do you know why they call it Pabst?
Well, it's that named after Pabst. That's the guy's name.
No,
right?
No.
Because when you open it, it goes Pabst.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right, onward.
When you pull it out of your plastic grocery shopping bag open it.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
To me, it's like, just reading these first five chapters, it's like all these isolated facts I knew, and like this book is like stringing them together. Mm-hmm. So it makes me feel like I'm learning something. Like the puzzles are falling into place of like even things we mentioned on this show. It's like, oh, that makes sense. They talk about, oh, 1988, like Rogue, Deschutes, North Coast, Great Lakes, all these breweries opened up, and that was like a landmark year. So I haven't gotten to the part with the Anheuser-Busch buyout, which I'm sure will crank up the drama factor. We're kind of in the early days of the brewery still. So
I also have this book sitting at home, Michael. Right after I said I'm going to request it, I requested it, but someone else had already requested it.
Oh, so it was all teed up then.
Yeah, and I was first on the hold list, and it came in quick. Now, as soon as I finish this biography of Robin Williams, which hasn't gotten sad yet, but it will.
It's inevitable.
I'm going to dig into it.
Very good, yeah. We'll have to have a, like we did with, what was that?
Bitter Brew?
Yes, Bitter Brew, the Bush family background story. We can do a little discussion about this, maybe over some Honker's Ale or something.
I haven't heard that. Do they still make that? I haven't seen that in forever.
I think. I guess I haven't either. I haven't seen it in a while, too, but it's like a flagship one for them, I think. So.
One would hope so.
Anyway, Jeremy, the drama doesn't stop there.
I was just going to bring that up. So we are not an evergreen show. I mean, we try to be, but, you know, it's kind of difficult, what with our busy lives. But we have current events.
Yeah. Essentially, there was a brewer whose name I do not have right in front of me.
Flenker.
That's it. Who worked at Toppling Goliath, and he left that brewery. I don't know if it was amicable or not. I don't know if that's been reported, but...
I do not believe that's been reported.
But he started up in Cedar Rapids, Thew Brewery, which I believe, Jeremy, you might have bragged about or mentioned on the show before.
I have. I really enjoy their... What you talking about, Willis Dady? Unfiltered Hefe.
So your impressions were generally favorable of this brewery.
And I had another one the other night at the Sword show here in town, but the bartenders didn't know what it was. But it was good.
Is that a band, or did somebody just like do sword tricks?
It is a band. They're basically D&D metal. Steve likes them. Steve has gone to see them with us before, so he survived. He of the I've Run Away From a Mosh Pit fame.
Yes, that's right.
So, here we go. From the Des Moines Register, a prominent Iowa brewery is suing its former head brewer. A legal action filed by Toppling Goliath Brewing Company seeks to stop Chris Flenker, that's hard to say, from helping run a new brewery in Cedar Rapids, alleging he is violating a non-compete agreement. He worked at the Decorah-based company from 2015 until his departure in January 2017. He is now working at Thew Brewing in Cedar Rapids, which opened earlier this year. Toppling Goliath says Flenker agreed not to work for a rival business within 150 miles of Decorah for 2 years after his departure. The company says he had access to his proprietary recipes, formulas, and techniques, and is using those trade secrets for gain. The lawsuit seeks an injunction blocking his work at Thew. Here's from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The lawsuit claims Flenker told Clark Louie, Toppling's owner, on January 3rd, 2017, my 34th birthday, he intended to open a brewery with his brother using the knowledge he gained working for Louie. During a podcast, a lo-fi Iowa beer podcast in March, Flenker said he was brewer and co-owner of Thew, which opened March 16th. In Cedar Rapids.
This kind of sounds like CM Punk and the WWE.
In another podcast in May, having one, Chris Flanker claimed he had a Z-Pack. No, sorry. Travis and Haley Flanker, co-owners of Thu, said Chris Flanker was their head brewer. The suit also claims Thu Brewing knew of the non-complete compete agreement and, quote, acted maliciously and wantonly in interfering with the contract by employing Chris Flanker. Travis Flanker, the brother who runs Thu, said in a statement Tuesday that he disagrees with the assertions made in the lawsuit and is disappointed Toppling decided to pursue legal action. Quote, the Iowa craft beer community is wonderful, and we appreciate all the positivity that's come our way since we opened, he added. We will not let this distract us from achieving our mission to give back to the communities we touch.
One more article, too, that I read, which is more of a, obviously, gay background, but also opinion piece, was on Beervana.
Was this the one you sent me?
Beervanablog.com. This is one of the ones I sent you, okay. Yeah. Their take was, this is pretty much a bad PR move for Toppling Goliath.
It is.
They talked about Widmer Brewing did the same thing way back in 1993, and it really took a nosedive for their business just because of how bad it looked. And I guess reading this article, Toppling Goliath has done some, like, Louis, they don't speak of him in very glowing terms because of some questionable behavior, quote-unquote, as they say in the article. As far as business practices, I don't think it goes beyond that. These days, questionable behavior can be something pretty bad.
Questionable behavior in these days is a... there's a lot of perspective involved.
Right. Like, Toppling Goliath blocked the person who wrote this article, and...
That was pretty petty.
Yeah. So it just doesn't come off very hot. I think they probably would have done better just letting this go. The other thing I read, too, in another article was non-competes are pretty much bogus. Bogus in the terms of, like, they're really not good for business overall or industries overall. And that is not only a liberal point of view, but also, like, Wall Street Journal editorials and things from very business-oriented people also agree with that notion that non-competes are just generally bad. In any case, this guy violated it, and it was, you know, in the contract. So, I don't know, it just... Originally, I was kind of on Toppling Goliath's side, but reading more about it, I'm like, well, this is just one guy in a pretty small brewery. You know, Thu is ultra-local, I would say.
They're pretty, as of now, local.
Yeah. I don't know. What is your take, Jeremy? I mean, I'm pretty uninformed, as we said earlier about everything, but I try to be informed, but
yeah. Yeah, it's hard because so you're basically on the same side as my fiance, who does not have a... dog in the fight. The Beervana piece, I feel, is a little slanted.
I think so too.
Towards the worker.
Yeah.
Which, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm all for the brewers having, you know, all the rights and working conditions and all that fun jazz that they deserve and are owed. That said, homeboy signed a non-compete.
Right. He knew what he was getting into. And it sounded like, based on these podcasts that you say too, that
they weren't exactly trying to hide it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm probably the biggest, I don't know. I don't know.
It's tough, because Toppling Goliath, like, you love their brews, and the brews I've had of theirs are delicious, and they make excellent beer.
Now, I saw some other takes by, former hosts of the show.
Okay.
Bad-mouthing Toppling Goliath.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too. Maybe, I always thought Mike was a big fan of Toppling Goliath, maybe... Not so much anymore.
And
days.
I quote, I think TG has bought into its own hype a bit too much. While their brews are delicious, they aren't doing anything super unique. They're just doing it well. Any concern about recipe stealing rings a little hollow to me. Now, that one I can't agree with. Because, A, if they've bought into their hype too much for me, then that would be reflected in the quality of the work. If they were just coasting on, you know, like bravado and gusto, then the product would start to suffer.
Well, they did when they contracted in Florida.
It did, yeah.
But they don't do that anymore, so...
They do not. So, the closest I can get, and I haven't thought this through, so bear with me here. They make their bones on IPAs.
Right.
Now, you have not brewed with Steven and I. I mean, you haven't brewed as much with us.
Right.
You know the basics of home brewing, and I'm sure you've seen how touchy and finicky beer recipes can be, especially on the IPAs, when you know the timing of when you add the hops, how much you add of the hops you add, etc., etc., can really have a pronounced effect on the beer. So, to some extent, I get we don't want him using our recipes because, I mean, it's there. I mean, you can make something that tastes like pseudo-su. It's just a citrus single hop pale ale, but the rest of that is rough.
Trade secret?
Is it a trade secret? Like, we were trying to... I was discussing this last night, and I was trying to figure out whether or not you can trademark or copyright or patent. I don't know what the word is. Mm-hmm. If you can legally protect your IP on a beer recipe.
I don't think so.
I mean...
Because, I mean, you can't do it for, like, mayonnaise. I don't know. That's, like, I can't think of a...
Mayonnaise.
Like, people can make imitation anything.
That's true.
Generic branded stuff.
Well, there's only one way to figure this one out, Michael, and it's called... Can you copyright beer recipe? Here we go. All right, cool.
Oh, you're on Ask Jeeves. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Copyright does not protect recipes that are mere listing of ingredients. Copyright protection may, however, extend a substantial literary expression, a description, explanation, or illustration, for example, that accompanies a recipe or formula, or to a combination of recipes, as in a cookbook. That is from copyright.gov.
So it sounds like if the recipe is part of a greater work, then it is. But if it's just a formula, we're in way over our head.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, it's kind of a lose-lose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really is. I mean...
It's kind of unfortunate because usually the craft brewing, you get all these stories about collaboration. And
sure.
Sam Adams giving hops to brewers who ran out during the hop shortage of whatever that was.
The great hop shortage of 20-whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you, stuff like this, you would expect from a more brutish conglomerate type brewery, but not a independent brewery, but yeah.
I had some thew before before this nonsense began, and I'll have some afterwards. And I had a lot of Toppling Goliath before, and I'll have a lot afterwards, especially now that they're canning Fire, Skulls, and Money, or whatever the name of that beer is.
Yes.
Which is delicious, and you need to take some back with you. Maybe we'll have to put that on the show. Unfortunately, this is just going to leave a black eye for... There's no good way out of this for Toppling Goliath. I can understand why they're doing it. I get it. I don't know if I agree with it, but...
Right.
I'm also not a businessman with one of the most lauded American craft breweries. I mean, that's fair to say, right?
I think that's fair to say, yeah. For now.
I feel like they got through the contract brewing thing as well as could be expected. With that, they basically contracted out their canning so they could get money so that they could expand the brewery so they could do the canning here in Iowa, but they needed more distribution. It's an Aruberus. It was, you know, snake eating its own tail. Unless you wait like 5-6 years, you're never going to get into canning, and without the canning, you're not going to expand your distribution, because if you expand the distribution without the canning, you're going to run out of the product for the contracts you already had. And I heard from multiple bartenders and bar owners here in town that they burned a lot of bridges when they did the contract brewing, because they basically canceled a lot of their contracts here in town.
Oh, distribution type stuff?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I distinctly remember being able to get pseudo-sue at the mill, like, constantly, like, whenever I wanted. Like, to the point where I was able to tell them, is just like, hey, you're making that fancy summery drink that has orange juice in it, layer pseudo-sue on top of it. And they did that, and it's on the menu, and it's because of me. But they had to stop that because... they didn't have any kegs. No one had any kegs except for the tap room. And like,
it
sucks. I get it, but this is going to get dumber before it gets better.
What's that kind of that idiom, biting your nose to spite your face?
Cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's quite that bad. And
I don't know, but yeah.
I mean, I have some issues with Toppling Goliath. I don't like that it's impossible to get any of their stouts unless you live in Decorah.
Right.
Or unless you know the right people, which drives me insane.
There was kind of a point about that in that Beervana article, too, about, or maybe it was a linked article about how there's some kind of alleged dodgy practices with some of those limited ones, but...
The way that they give them out, I'm okay with. I just hope that they can make more of their stouts now that the new brewery is up and going.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even Dark Lord is more affordable. Like their SR71 or their Assassin. I mean, Dark Lord is like, what, $20-$25 a bottle?
Mm-hmm.
And you get like world-class metal, which I understand doesn't appeal to everyone. But it appeals to me. Yeah. It's stupid. It just makes me sad. I wish it wasn't happening.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll keep our eyes peeled.
Hopefully, everybody learns a little lesson from this.
And just stop being a friggin' ding-dong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. Jeremy, should we move on to the FDR?
We have a leftover of the highest order here.
We have splinters in our fingers from scraping the bottom of the beer.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think this is our last shared beer that I didn't even know if we were going to have to get to this, but here we are.
Yeah.
I brought some of this over last time we were doing some in-person recording in Iowa City.
Good gravy. This is the last trade, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I'm just like, hold one back, Jeremy, and I'll take one just in case.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Turned out to be a good idea.
Yeah. So it is Ale Asylum's Hopalicious.
Boom.
I brought this over because for you and Steve because I don't think it's available in Iowa, and I know you guys like IPA-type beer, so.
Yes. Michael, I got some color text for you.
Go for it.
Hopalicious is 5.7 ABV. It's an American pale ale. Color is golden copper. It is available year-round in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. Motto, local hopheads granted asylum. Fun fact, referred to as Madison's signature beer by the Wisconsin State Journal!
I'm reading along with you. And it does say fun fact. That's not a.
That's not me.
From
that's
Jeremy.
Not that's... a weird little idiosyncrasy. Hopalicious is a refreshing American pale ale, unique enough for the connoisseur, approachable enough for the novice, and drinkable to everyone. Sure, we could have made it bitterlicious, or even maltalicious for that matter. But we didn't. We made it hopalicious. And we made it for the everyday hophead who wants bold, citrus hop flavor without crazy bitterness. This is a good beer. We had some of these when you brought it down.
Yeah.
But I haven't had one in quite some time, so I can't tell you how it's going to hand up.
Nor I. Oh, and there's some more flavor text on the back. This actually looks into some ingredients here, so I'll read this too. 11 separate edition of Cascade hops.
Dang!
So Cascade, there you go. Give this American pale ale its lush citrus aroma and bold hop flavor without crazy bitterness. That's kind of the same. Hopalicious is all natural and unfiltered. It is brewed with passion and is best enjoyed that way. Oh, with passion. So, okay. Yeah, so the can is like a little, like a Viking, something you'd find on a Viking shield, like a little snake or dragon.
A crest.
A pine cone. A crest, yeah.
Did you just say dragon?
Dragon?
I know someone from Minnesota who, along with saying duck, duck, gray duck, has there's all these.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like duck, duck, goose?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And hot dish instead of a casserole. It's almost like it's a third world company. Anyway, this person also draws all short A's out long, like dragon.
Dragon.
Put a bag over the dragon's head, you know, like that.
I probably fall into an accent like that.
It drives me insane. Anyway, continue.
I think that's it. I think we can open it and see what's in here. It's in a can.
It is in a can. Do you have a lot of head on your beer, Michael?
I do, but I managed to get it all in the glass.
Okay. While mine tones down a little bit, I'm going to give you our halftime question from...
Oh, yeah.
From trivia.
I love trivia.
Okay. So, here was our halftime question, and I'm just going to let you know right now that I got these all right.
Ooh,
and I came very, very close to getting all of the years correct, too. I'm going to list you 5 U.S. presidents, and I'm going to list off 4 Best Picture winners.
Oh, God.
I want you to tell me what movie won Best Picture when the president was president. So, like, let's say The Shape of Water won while Donald Trump was president.
Yes. Okay.
The presidents are Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. So,
all in order there. Okay.
From Ford to Clinton. The movies are Terms of Endearment.
Oh, God.
Schindler's List. Annie Hall. And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You think about that, and we'll discuss it while the beer goes.
Okay.
I'd say, yeah, Yellow Copper is about right. I'd say Unfiltered is right. It's a little haze, but not orange juice level. And I realize that you can, you know, Google these now that I'm giving you time.
I can go for it. I'll probably get them wrong. Schindler's List was Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I want to say One Flew Over is the earliest, so I'll say Ford.
Correct.
Okay. The X factor here is Terms of Endearment. I don't know that very well. So I'll say... Oh, Annie Hall is probably pretty old, too. I'll say Annie Hall, Carter.
Yes.
And terms of endearment, could be HW, but I'll say Reagan.
You are 100% correct, Michael. Good one.
That's a fun one. That's a good combo.
I loved that idea. I want them to do that more. I enjoyed that category.
Speaking of pub trivia real quick, and you can go in for the beer while I do this little quick podcast pitch. The podcast Edumacation, which previously had shouted out the name of our podcast in an episode.
Oh, that's right.
With Kevin Smith and his buddy Andy McElfrish, they're doing pub trivia now.
Oh, really?
And they're recording it as a podcast, yeah. And so if you're interested in trivia or pub trivia podcasts and you can tolerate Kevin Smith, which he's okay for me, and I know you like him.
Mosher's back.
Yes, on Smodcast.
Ah, yes.
But yeah, that's a great combo if you like trivia and goofy comedian Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do a pub trivia podcast now. Essentially, they turned their... It was kind of a general trivia podcast, but it was just reading out facts before. Mm-hmm. And now it's an actual pub quiz, like done somewhere on Hollywood Boulevard, the Scum and Villainy Cantina.
Nice. I never listened to that one because he does too many podcasts. But
right. Yeah. It's impossible to listen to all of them. So
yeah.
But yeah, you might like that one.
I'm going to dig in.
Yeah. How was the beer, Jeremy?
It's good.
If you did go in.
It remains citrusy after all this time.
Yeah, there is a nice citrus note right at the beginning there. And it is bitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite paint your tongue bitter.
No, it doesn't have the spray paint effect. I like this.
Mm-hmm. A good malt backbone.
I dare say this might be crushable, Michael.
Yeah. God, I ended up having this, you know, after I gave you guys that 12-pack. Couple times I had in the summer, like, random pitcher of beer that people were sharing at a table. Two times this summer, they got Hopalicious. I'm like, okay, that's just great.
That's just keen, one might say.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid this is turning out, because it's so stalwart, like, prototypical.
Unassuming?
Yeah, like, there's not much to say about it.
Well, I mean...
It would be nice to side-by-side it with some other IPAs like Sierra Nevada, or not IPAs, just pale ales.
Mm-hmm.
Or some other things, just to get subtle differences.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of in that echelon, I guess you would say.
So, Michael, while we're, you know, trying to figure out what to say about this and, you know, stall for time, maybe we should do something like that when you're down here in a week. Get, like, a couple of crowlers of something.
Yeah.
Or I think Big Grove is going to have Easy Eddie back on tap.
Oh, yeah, do some, like, a flight of their IPAs or something.
Or I was just thinking we get a crowler, and then I still force you to watch Phantasm.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's on the agenda, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to have to make a plan.
We'll have to make an agenda.
Yeah, I don't know if we can do Blind Man Birthday Dance, too, or something.
We can probably do that. Unless the trivia finals are that Saturday, which they might be. I don't know. We haven't heard.
Then I'll join. Wait, can I do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd be up for that, too.
Yeah, we could use someone with random weird knowledge. Because the fiancé and I, we find that we can hold our own with any of the hot dog teams in Iowa City. But the ones where we lose, we either wage poorly or there's two of us against eight of them.
Yeah.
And while she and I have a very small overlap in our common knowledge of just random garbage.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a very good thing, which is why we have, you know, free pitchers laying around. It's sometimes there's stuff that neither of us know, and I feel like you might be a good wild card, should it come to that.
Yeah, we'll see.
We shall see. But, yeah, this it's hard to describe, like, just a solid IPA.
Right. It's hard to, like, find a hook to...
Is the hook?
Like say, oh, yeah,
I got it. Is the hook the balance? Because this is extremely balanced.
It's pretty balanced. I mean, it leans to me. It leans hops, obviously.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
as far as a APA, yeah, it is balanced in that regard.
The malt is present, unobtrusive. I think is a fair way to put it. The hops show up on both the aroma, the taste, and the bitter. But
yeah, I was going to say, the smell is really good, too.
But it's not overwhelming on any one of them.
Yeah, no spray paint, as we mentioned. Not really sweet or anything like that.
But it is good and piney. And it's...
Yes.
It seems like there's not a ton of beers that are like... I mean, with the NEIPA craze going on, it's hard to find a beer that's balanced and not super bitter, but also has those piney I mean, there's definitely a citrus note to this, but I mean...
Right. Yeah, the finish is more of that piney.
The finish is a little piney.
Right, and I think before the citrusy craze of the past X years, two, three, four, five, whatever, this would be considered pretty citrusy, but I think these days this is more piney than citrusy compared to what you can get.
100%.
When you have a citra hop, you know, which I don't believe this does, you know, it's hard to compete with that for citrusy.
Mm-hmm. I really dig this beer. What can I say? Mm-hmm.
Good. Should we rate it?
Yeah, let's go for it. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Well, Michael, I'm going to need to go in, and I'm going to need you to go first. But you're doing that, so go in. I'm just going to let you know that Shudder.com is offering a 7-day free trial. There's a movie called Deathbed, The Bed That Eats People. And I'll give you two guesses as to what it's about, but you're probably only going to need one. Now, I've seen this movie when I still had discs from Netflix. Anyway, Michael, what do you got?
You know, so far it's been pretty non-controversial, straightforward. The impasse that I come to is comparing it to last week's IPA, the Tiger Laser Dayglow IPA.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. I think I like that one more flavor-wise, but finish-wise, I like this one more. So, and it again comes down to the style, where, i.e., Jeremy is more correct than me.
I mean,
when it comes to rating these beers.
Thank you, Michael. I agree.
He's a IPA specialist.
Clearly.
I'm going to park it in at a 3.25.
Interesting. Yeah. So I really like the way that the hops kind of morph in whatever you're looking for. They kind of have it.
Yeah, kind of tick all the boxes as it goes across your tongue.
Yeah, definitely. There's the... It has the fruit, it has the pine, it has the bitter, it has the sweet. It's got a little bit of everything, but it doesn't reach out and smack you. I like the fact that this feels like you could have multiple of these on like a tailgate. I think it would be a good call for.
Yeah.
So 3.75. I want to go with that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But yeah.
So that's another one down the gullet.
Another one down the gullet. Michael, hit us up with some of those social media plugs.
Yeah. Get in touch with us, like former co-host of the show Mike did. Takes our welcome. You can do that in a variety of ways. You can do that Twitter and Facebook, APM Pod there. Emails directly, apmpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Untappd, where aforementioned Mike keeps up with our ratings there. That's also APM Pod. And subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend, all that good stuff. So I always appreciate it. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.